You have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 15. We've been doing a study in the harmony of the Gospels. We're going to continue that study this morning. Let's ask the Lord to just bless our Sunday school hour. Our precious Father, we would ask that you would bless the Sunday school hour as we journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ towards his death there in Jerusalem. Lord, help us to listen attentively to what he has to say to us and follow in his footsteps. We just ask these prayers now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just quickly a little review. The multitudes have been following the Lord, and he is teaching them about the cost of true discipleship. We've already noted in chapter 4 of Luke chapter 4, that one's got to be willing to sacrifice their family. We saw that in verses 25 and 26. They've got to be willing to sacrifice their own life, verse 27 in chapter 14. And he has to be ready to sacrifice everything, Luke 14, 28 through 33. And then right at the end of that, in verse 34 and 35, talking about the quality of salt, we discern this. Listen, one, if one loses the characteristics of being a faithful disciple, like worthless salt, they're good for nothing. Now, watch what happens as we turn our attention to chapter 15. And we ask this question, who then draws near to hear Jesus? And you got your sheet, you can follow right along. It says, then drew near unto him all publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, do you remember what a publican is? At least, what were they? The commoner, they were commoners, yes. But oftentimes this word publican was a reference to those who gathered taxes. And they were despised among the people because of, you know, the way that they did it, and did it so unlawfully and cheating the people. So to be called a publican, I mean, it couldn't get much worse than that. So here comes all the publican and all these sinners to hear him. Now, but go back with me to verse 35 of chapter 14, because I want you to see how Jesus ends that particular chapter. He says, it's neither fit for the land, that's talking about that salt, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. Then he says this, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then drew near unto him all these publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now he's just said, okay, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You think he's going to shoo away these individuals who are coming to hear him? No. They have ears to hear. He is going to speak to them. And of course, right off the bat, we're learning a very important principle. When someone will give us ears to hear, or have ears to hear, and they will give us an opportunity to speak to them, we need to speak to them. Now, watch this. Verse 2. How did the Pharisees and scribes respond to this? And the Pharisees and scribes, they murmured, saying. All right, what did they murmur about concerning Jesus? This man, Jesus, he receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. I mean, that was their outlook. Now, we might rethink of that and say, man, they're very what? They're very what? Okay, hypocritical. Now, I give you this statement. They had a rule that stated that one was not to associate with an ungodly man. Therefore, the rabbis, they wouldn't even teach such an individual, a quote, sinful person. Now, I ask you this question. What does this say about what Jesus had previously taught them concerning who would be included in the Great Supper? You remember who he went out and who he invited? You know, those who thought themselves to be righteous, they didn't come. So he sent that servant out, and who was all invited? Go to the highways, hedges, compel them to come in. And who was it they were to bring in? The poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Now he just got done teaching them this lesson, who they should be inviting, who they should be inviting to their house. What do you think? How much have they learned? It does not appear that they had ears to what? They didn't have ears to hear. Because he just taught them this, as to who they should be inviting. Don't be inviting all these. Those who can pay you back, invite those who can't pay you back. And, but now they're just shunning him, and they're looking down on him. As this man, he receiveth sinners, he even eats with them. Look at verse 3. How does Jesus speak unto them? And he spake this parable unto them, saying. Now we've watched and seen all along here how the Lord is using parables to speak. And sometimes he gives eyes for individuals to hear or to see, and ears to hear. Sometimes he doesn't, but he's speaking now unto them in parables. And what did the man in the parable have, according to verse 4? He says, what man of you, so he's talking about men right now, having 100 sheep. All right, so here's a guy who's got what? 100 sheep. So he's got, you know, he's got some. But wait a minute. What did the man lose? Verse 4, he says, if he lose one of them. He's got 100, he loses one. All right, what's that man who lost that one sheep do? Top of your page 2, it says this. Does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? So we got a man, he's got 100 sheep. He loses one sheep. What do we see this man doing in this parable? Well, we see this man taking after and going to find that lost sheep. And I ask a couple of questions. How many seek God? Romans 3, verses 10 and 11 says what? There's none that seek God. No, not one. It's God who seeks us. Ezekiel 34, Luke 19. It's God who comes looking and seeking and working in our lives. Now, watch this question here. How long does the man look for the lost sheep? Until he find it. Now the question, do you think the lost sheep, does it represent a Christian, or do you think it represents an unbeliever? Or we could ask you one other question. Maybe both. Anybody want to venture a thought as we get on through here? You think this is this lost sheep? You think it's a Christian? Do you think it's an unbeliever? Do you think it could maybe be both? Because one of the things he's going to call on in rejoicing is that this one has what? Repented. Well, obviously the unbeliever needs to repent, right? Are there times that a believer needs to repent? Lewis.
I need to repent every single day of my life. Okay. Dad, so I would say both.
Okay, all right. And probably, yeah, go ahead. Yes.
So,
in that sense, right. But sometimes when you're doing parables, you can't, you got to be careful to just go on, you know, everything, because he's, you know, it is a general teaching and thing, so, but that is a good thought that you have right there. Yes.
Because when I understand the word, sanctification is a daily thing.
Yes. Amen. All right. So, well, let's go on through here and see what happens. What does a man do who found the one sheep? Man, he went after it until he found it. What's he do when he found it? And when he had found it, it says this. He layeth it on his shoulders, what? Rejoicing. Now, watch this. What does a man do when he comes home with his lost sheep? And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, what? Rejoice with me. For I have found my sheep, which was lost. And how did the man respond? And how did he want others to respond? He responded with rejoicing, and he wanted others to respond with rejoicing. All right, let's see what the Lord had to say on this matter, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then I ask you this question. Who do you think was the one sinner? Who might that represent? Who do you think the 99 just might have represented? Who thought themselves to be just? Who thought themselves to be righteous? The Pharisees. So what? He's talking to sinners. He's eating with sinners. Not us. Why? They thought themselves to be just. And the one obviously was maybe this publican, maybe this sinner that was spoken of earlier. Well, look at the bottom of your sheet. What did we learn about the triune God in this parable? Anything? What did we learn about who Jesus will speak to? Jesus will speak to who? Okay, Jesus will speak to anyone who has ears to hear. Okay. Jesus wants us to minister to who? Jesus wants us to minister to who? Okay, sinners, the lost, everybody. Jesus teaches that some are very focused on possessions. I got 100 sheep. I got 100 sheep. I lost one. Man, I'm going after them. Well, instead of being so focused on your possessions, you ought to be focusing on people. You know, Pharisees, Sadducees are very focused on what they had. But their concern for people was at a bare minimum. And it'd be only at what those people could give to them. And also, how did Jesus respond when the sinner repented? He rejoices. All right, so these are some of the things that we saw concerning the nature of our triune God. Here, focusing on Jesus. What did we learn about mankind in these verses? Some of what? Right, first verse. Some of what? Some people what? Some people want to what? Concerning the Lord. Some people want to what? Some are going to want to hear what he has to say. Man, the Lord's got a heart prepared. They're going to want to hear what the Lord has to say. They'll want to hear about the Bible. They'll want to. But we also find that some people are very what? When we think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, some are very critical. Self-righteous, if you will. Concerning other individuals. And so we look at that and we think, all right, big deal. How should that change my behavior? We read through that. It was kind of interesting, little parable. So how might that change our behavior? What might you and I purpose to do as a result of reading those verses today? Should be at least two thoughts that should come to your mind, two purposes that you should be moved to declare. You purpose to what? What's the Lord wants us to do? Humble ourselves. One of the ways we humble ourselves is to do what? What did he do? He sought the what? The lost. So we ought to purpose in following our Lord that we would go out and seek the lost. Okay. And what was his response when one was found. He rejoiced. So another purpose is that not only will I purpose to seek the lost like my Lord, but I purpose to rejoice when that one is found with my Lord. I mean, those are two things. Now, maybe you can think of something else that you could do. But those should be at least two. I'm going to purpose to seek the lost like my Lord. I'm going to purpose to rejoice when one is found. All right, can't stop there. Let's go on to the parable of the lost coin, right? We had a man in the first illustration. Now we've got a woman. What did the woman have according to verse 8? Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver? Now we talked about the man. The man ought to go out and seek. Now he's moving it to the woman. And what did the woman lose? If she lose one piece, lost one tenth, all right? Now I give you an idea, silver coin. It had the value of about a day's wages. So think about if you lost a day's wages. It's probably significant to most of us. If we lost a day's wages, we'd want to spend at least some time seeing where it might be, all right? So what did the woman do who lost the one coin, according to the latter part of verse 8? Doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. Now, that's a key phrase here in this particular parable. Seek diligently. Well, we already seen the Lord's concern for the loss, how he went out. In this one, we see this little phrase, he seeks diligently. And she was looking, she was sweeping the floor. Man, she didn't wait till morning. This was an urgency for her. I'll wait till tomorrow. No. Man, she lit a candle. And she swept the house. And she sought it diligently till she find it. So how valuable was the coin to the woman? Seemed to be what? Pretty valuable, all right? How valuable is one lost sinner to the Lord? Well, as we're following through this parable, pretty valuable. How valuable were the publicans and sinners to the Lord? Pretty valuable. Now, what did a woman do when she found her lost coin? And when she had found it, she called her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Now, what did Jesus have to say on this matter? The sum of them. Likewise, he says, verse 10, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So, basically, we see the same two themes, don't we? The Lord, he went out and what? And as we looked at this man, the Lord, through this woman, diligently seeking for the lost. And when the lost is found, he rejoices, all right? And what's our two purposes? Basically the same as on the other one. We should, and how should we seek for the lost? We should diligently seek for that which is lost. And how should we respond? We rejoice. As you went through these two today, what your mindset is being, you know what? Do I have ears to hear? You know, because he says, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. And the publicans and sinners, they drew near for to hear him. And we need to show ourselves to be humble. Lewis mentioned the humility. One of the ways we demonstrate ourselves to be humble is the fact that we have ears to hear. We're going to refer to it this morning about what happens when a child is disciplined. You know, you would hope when you spoke to your child and you disciplined your child that they would have what? Ears to hear. And how do you know that they've had ears to hear? Because normally if you're telling them, you're giving them instruction, it's they're going in this direction, and you want them to stop and do what? Go in this direction. And we call that what? What's the term? We call it repentance. All right? So there's an act of repentance you want your child. Stop doing this, start doing that. Well, what we want is to have our children have ears to hear. And sometimes you grow frustrated because it does not appear that they have ears to hear. And then we will see where God takes it to the next step this morning in our text. Because what we're trying to teach you is that probably two of the primary times when we become bitter is when we are suffering from a sinner or when we're suffering for our own sin. Those are the two primary times. And that's when we get bitter. And so when you see your child not having ears to hear, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be prone to get bitter. So that's why, first of all, you need to be praying for it. But you also need to understand that, I'm going to diligently seek that one, that they would repent. Now, we talked about the unsaved, we're talking about the saved, or are we talking about both? Well, repentance is needed for both. And you need to show yourself that you're going to diligently seek that one who is lost and needs to come to repentance. Somebody else? Comment on either one of the parables. One about, and by the way, you also learn that it's not just the man's responsibility of seeking the lost, is it? Because you notice they gave the illustration of a woman also going out and seeking that which is lost. So we got to, yes, Darlene?
Yes, sir. I just did a little devotion concerning the our baby shower and talking about one of the first things a mother looks at when she sees her child is, do they have, their eyes, their ears, their
oh, yes, okay.
Their feet.
Yeah. That's good, darling. Yeah, excellent. Good, thank you. Somebody else? Anyone else this morning with a thought? I knew it was going to be a short lesson, but I could go to the next one because the next one, it's a longer parable. And I want to look at that by itself, so I knew we'd be a little bit short here this morning. So, but you got more time to fellowship with one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it would be our prayer that you would just bless us with not only the desire, but the doing of your good pleasure in this matter of seeking out the lost. Lord, no doubt perhaps there's even someone that you've impressed upon our own heart and mind this morning that we need to pray for, that we need to, as opportunity arises, just share the good news that Jesus saves. So, Lord, just cause us to have that desire and the doing of your good pleasure in this matter of seeking the lost. And then, Lord, also help us to just have a spirit of thanksgiving and praise when we see a precious soul wonderfully and gloriously saved. We just ask, Lord, that, and even being rejoicing when we see a Christian repent, turn from their wrongdoing, turn towards that which is right and just. Lord, help our hearts to be not envious or jealous, but to be rejoicing and giving thanks. Now we just ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.